Penguin Random House Audio presents Georgia, a novel of Georgia O'Keeffe, by Dawn Tripp. Read for you by Anne Marie Lee. Part 1. I no longer love you as I once did, in the dazzling rush of those early days. Time itself was feverish then, our bodies filled with fire. Your fingers inside me, mouth grazing my throat, breast, thigh. The metallic scent of the darkroom, smells of sweat and linseed oil, a stain of cocoa on the dining table. It was all smashed together back then. Art, sex, life. Mixed into the perfect color. Every shadow had a substance, shape, and tone. Your bowler hat. The lead-rolled, gleaming whiteness of an empty canvas. Tubes of paint lined up. My dressing gown on the floor. And you above me. Light moving on your shoulders. Your eyes did not leave my face. When you touched me then, you moved so close to me. So close, and hot, and fast, and deep. I no longer love you that way. My hands are cool now. The past remade and packed away. Sometimes, though, late at night, the air lifts and I feel it. The faint burn of your eyes on my closed lids. Still, that sense of you rushing back in. 1. 1979, Abiquiu, New Mexico. I bought this house for the door. The house itself was a ruin, but I had to have that door. Over the years, I've painted it many times, all different ways. Abstract, representational, blue, black, brown. I've painted it in the hot green of summer. In the dead of winter, clouds rushing past it, a lone yellow leaf drifting down. I painted the door open only once, just before he died. In every picture after, it was closed. This is not a love story. If it were, we would have the same story. But he has his, and I have mine. He used to say it all began with the charcoal abstractions I made in 1915, before I met him. I was 27, a school teacher, poor, driven only by a singular, relentless passion for my art. One night, I turned my back on everything I'd learned about what art should be. I locked the door of my room and got down on the floor with large sheets of paper and charcoal. I remember the cool hush of the night through the window as shapes poured out of the nub of charcoal in my hand. Finished, I rolled up the drawings and sent them to my friend Anita Politzer, in New York. She brought them to Stieglitz at his gallery. When he saw them, he told her, "These are the purest, fairest, sincerest things that have entered 291 in a long while." I knew who he was. Everyone did. I'd met him once before, though he would not remember. The father of modern photography. An icon of American art. In groundbreaking shows at 291, Alfred Stieglitz had introduced New York to the work of Picasso and Matisse. a brilliant photographer in his own right, he was known more for the careers of the artists he'd made. I wrote to him at 291 and asked him to tell me what he saw in my charcoal drawings. He wrote back to say he wanted to show my work. I should send him more. We exchanged letters back and forth across the country. I spent every extra dollar on brushes, paper, paint. Over the years, this would be the story he told again and again, until it became the story. Those charcoals. His discovery of me. Our correspondence that began shortly after. He would say I was what he had been waiting for. What he had always known was meant to exist. Because Stieglitz used words with a certain unique force, his version of our story prevailed. "You will be a legend," he said to me once. I laughed. "No," he said. "I see it. It's already in you." Legend. A word he would use again and again. He had faith in me. He did not give me greatness, but his faith in my early work gave me the space to achieve it. He knew this then, and perhaps on some level, he also knew that for me to fully become the legend he saw, I would have to leave him. Tonight in New Mexico, so many years later, the air is clear. My sight is gone, but I know this view by heart. The ropey silvered turns of the road passing below my window, the shrubby heads of the cottonwoods, the river valley, the distant line of hills. The shapes of the world out there are shadowy. Lean and contoured strokes, they glow. The moon shines and cuts the night open. There's a grain of truth to Stieglitz's version of things. The story of my art and his life did begin the moment he unrolled those charcoals. But to my mind, our story began more than a year later. I was still teaching at a small college in Texas, sending him my pictures as I made them. A curious intimacy had begun to evolve in our letters. It was late May 1917 when Stieglitz wrote to say he had hung a small show of my watercolors and charcoals. My first show. It would be 291's last. He was closing the gallery. The war. I felt my heart skip as I read those lines. What I'd give to see my things on those walls. For 3 days, I walked around with his letter in my pocket. Then I went to the bank manager's house on a Sunday and begged him to open, so I could withdraw the last $200 I had to buy a train ticket from Texas to New York. I did not tell Stieglitz I was coming. 2. May 1917, New York. 291. The walls are bare, already stripped. He looks up, and when he sees me standing in the doorway, his face changes, softens to a simple pleasure, lit. Georgia. He dismisses the two fellows he was speaking with. "You've come all this way," he says. "I had no idea you were coming to New York." "I know. I should have told you." Your show was taken down 2 days ago. I'm sorry.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?